This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A one-time member of the Obama administration offered some unique insight into what the USDA may look like under Joe Biden. Philip Karsting is the former administrator of the USDA's Foreign Ag Service under President Obama, as well as the former interim president of the World Food Program. He spoke to the Ag Business Council of Kansas City during a recent webinar and talks about the transition team already in place that's looking at the USDA.
Biden said a lot of times during the campaign that he was running as a Democrat, but he would govern for everyone. And at USDA, I think that has manifested itself in one of his first moves in appointing an incredibly level-headed, pragmatic, science and data-driven transition team. Robert Bonney will be leading that effort. Robert and I were colleagues in 2013 through 17. I was at FAS. He was head of the mission area with responsibility for the Natural Resource Conservation Service and the Forest Service, which is a load of employees and a lot of thorny issues to deal with. The thing that would characterize Robert is that he's a bridge builder.
Karsting is currently a senior policy advisor for a law firm in Washington, D.C. He says that Robert Bonney brings real-world agricultural experience to the USDA's transition team.
He also, to his Forest Service and NRCS duties, brought to those tasks real-world experience of having managed his own farmland and forest land. I think he's got some real cred on all those topics. Obviously, climate will be a big issue for discussion in the coming Congress. And if I were a farmer, I would want Robert Bonney in the room when those topics come up, precisely because he is a bridge builder and not a flamethrower.
The USDA transition team will be working through a lot of information in the coming days.
The transition team will be sorting through a lot of personnel and management issues in the weeks ahead, and they will also be on the receiving end of a whole lot of advice in the form of white papers from every topical corner of the nation, from food and energy to climate and production agriculture. One of the papers worth noting that was released is something called the Climate 21 Project that you all can Google. I think it's a very worthwhile read, and it was co-authored by Robert Bonney.
Robert Bonney was the USDA Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment during the Obama administration. He's currently part of Duke University's Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy Solutions. In other national ag news, sustainability is an important topic to many Americans here in 2020. John Newton, chief economist for the Farm Bureau, says a recent survey found a majority of Americans trust farmers to use sustainable practices.
We recently conducted a survey just to gauge the public's perceptions of farmers and ranchers and their sustainability practices. And what we found is more than half of adults, 58%, rate the sustainability practices of farmers positively. We've got broad agreement from a majority of adults across demographic groups that trust farmers.
He says 9 in 10 adults trust farmers, which is 4% higher than the last survey that AFB took back in June. While farmers can always improve their sustainability, Newton says the poll shows that Americans don't think farmers should have to bear the cost of doing so by themselves.
The public doesn't believe that we need to go it alone. I think they recognize that climate smart technology adoption is a public good. 7 in 10 adults say government incentives to encourage farmers to adopt additional sustainable ag practices would be effective in improving environmental sustainability in agriculture.
Newton also says Americans understand farms must be economically sustainable as well as environmentally sustainable.
4 in 5 adults, they understand the importance of feeding the world, and then they also understand the importance of farmers being able to pass their farm down to future generations and keeping that farm in the family.
Again, that was John Newton, the chief economist with the American Farm Bureau. In the latest ag news on the trade front across the pond to the east, trade negotiations between the European Union and the United Kingdom seem likely to miss their mid-November deadline for a new Brexit deal. Reuters reports that after Britain left the European Union back in January, a status quo transition period will be expiring at the end of the year. The talks on new trade rules that begin in 2021 haven't yielded results yet. Quote, by moving into next week, the timeline will start to get tight, says Irish Foreign Trade Minister Simon Coveney. There aren't many days left in the year, and if we don't get a deal next week, we may have some real problems. Now that the stakes are running even higher, an EU diplomat tells Reuters that, quote, the deadlines are increasingly tight, but the EU cannot make the timetable take precedence over its priority interests. If the two sides don't agree, trade rifts will be felt between the world's biggest trading bloc of 450 million consumers and the sixth biggest economy. That would not only deepen the economic damage caused by coronavirus in Europe during this year, quote, it could quite possibly fall apart, Coveney says, but if you're asking me to call it, I think we are more likely to get a deal done than not. Back in National Ag News, the Kansas City Fed last week said that the outlook for ag credit conditions for the 10th District improved in the third quarter, due in part to rising commodity prices and additional government aid to producers. After dropping sharply in the second quarter due to COVID disruptions, prices for most ag commodities began to rebound over the summer. The Fed report says increasing demand supported additional increases in crop prices through the third quarter and into October, expanding profit opportunities for many producers going into the harvest season. As a result, credit conditions deteriorated at a significantly slower pace. The number of bankers reporting declines in farm income and loan repayment rates dropped from the prior quarter. About 55% of ag bankers in the district reported lower income than a year ago, compared to 75% in the second quarter of 2020. Recent developments are leading to more optimistic expectations through the end of the year. Following years of steady growth, demand for farm loans appeared to decrease. About 25% of bankers reported that loan demand was lower than last year, the highest number since 2013 after the massive drought of 2012. Loan repayment challenges are expected to ease across most types of farm operations in the district throughout the next 3 months. The USDA's Farm Service Agency is reminding farmers and ranchers that the deadline to apply for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, or CFAP 2, is coming up December 11th. The program provides direct relief to producers who continue to face market disruptions and associated costs due to COVID. Quote, producers have one more month to get their applications in for this important relief program, according to Richard Fordyce, the Farm Service Agency's administrator. Quote, applying is simple and our staff is available to assist every step of the way. CFAP 2 will provide up to $14 billion to eligible producers of certain row crops, livestock, dairy, specialty crops, aquaculture, and more. All of the eligible commodities, payment rates, and calculations can be found online at farmers.gov/CFAP. CFAP 2 is a separate program from the first round of the program, and interested producers must complete a new application to be eligible for payment under CFAP 2. Customers seeking one-on-one support with CFAP 2 application processes can call 877-508-8364 to speak directly with a USDA employee that's ready to offer general assistance. Moving on to Ag News on this Monday morning, more close to home. If you've ever wondered which parts of the Midwest grow more corn and which parts grow more beans, there's now a map for that. The map is on the FarmDoc Daily website right now, and it's kind of nerdy, but Illinois Extension Ag economist Gary Schnittke says once he set about putting it together, the map even surprised him.
Indiana and Ohio have more soybeans in their rotation than corn. They look a lot like southern Illinois, actually. And that sort of surprised me, particularly growing up in Ohio, where my family runs a 50-50 rotation, so I was surprised to see more soybeans there. Actually, the other one that sort of surprised me was Iowa, and you always knew the northern half of the state was more corn, but it's the northeast corner with more, which a much heavier corn, and not the northwest where all the hogs are.
Some other ag facts from the corn to soybean acreage ratio map has that Wisconsin's rotation as a state is the most corn intensive state in the nation, and while Kansas has been known as a wheat state at one time, it has more been recently considered a corn state, but as it turns out, Kansas appears to be a soybean state based solely on the relative number of corn to soybean acres in any given year. In state ag news, once more here on your Monday, an early harvest helped many farmers jumpstart their fall fertilizer program across Illinois. And even though through that recent string of 70-plus degree days in some parts of the state that temporarily curbed activity, fertilizer application remains on pace to meet demand. Those challenges range from recent temperature fluctuations and issues with a pipeline that feeds the upper Midwest anhydrous ammonia to the closure of the Illinois River through the end of October. Anhydrous ammonia supply remains adequate here in Illinois despite some concerns in Iowa and Minnesota due to pipeline issues, while potash supply tightened due to a 20% spike in demand compared to last year. Fertilizer demand also increased this fall due to the apparent increase in planting of winter wheat down south. Fertilizer prices across the state averaged $443 a ton for anhydrous ammonia, $352 a ton for urea, $211 a ton for liquid 28% nitrogen, and $335 a ton for potash. That's up $8.33 a ton, according to the November 5th Illinois Production Cost Report. There is a wide range in potash prices, however, from $284 to $430 a ton, depending on location. As for the Illinois River closure, years of preparation neutralized its impact on the fertilizer industry. The waterway reopened a navigation back on October 29th after a four-month project to upgrade five locks and dams along the river. And with harvest wrapped up for most of Illinois farmers, the numbers look pretty good on a yield standpoint. Illinois Corn Growers Association Executive Director Rodney Weinzierl says they expect yield to be above average, but not record-breaking.
This has probably been the nicest fall that we've had, at least in the last two or three years. And even though for a lot of people it probably started a little bit later than what they thought because we had a cooler July than normal, I think a lot of people, farmers, have been able to wrap things up on both corn and beans. And it's pretty rare to get a price rally into harvest, but this is one of the years that that's happened. With China buying and some other things going on in the market price, that has been really good. Attitudes are, I think, pretty good in the countryside.
According to USDA numbers, Illinois yields are projected to be 195 bushels per acre for corn and 58 bushels per acre for soybeans. And moving on now into local ag news for your Monday, Brimmer Sanctuary was nominated by the Montgomery County Extension as a 2020 community partner. They were selected for their exemplary service to the University of Illinois Extension and 4-H. Brimmer Sanctuary has partnered with Extension in numerous programs over the past years, but just this past year alone, Brimmer volunteers were instrumental in supporting the National 4-H Pollinator Habitat Program. Brimmer's own volunteers assisted Extension staff with coordinating and implementing a field trip where over 100 local third graders were able to learn about pollinators and plant a habitat on the sanctuary. The Community Partner Award is sponsored by Extension Council of the University of Illinois Extension that serves Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County. The council plans to recognize a community partner each year throughout those four counties, and the Extension Council is a volunteer board which serves in an advisory role cooperating with Extension staff in planning, promoting, developing, implementing, evaluating, and financing an Extension program designed to meet the needs, interests, and resources of the local communities served. Quote, community partners play a vital role in the outreach efforts of Extension. They help with financial support, host sites for programs, and promote our program to the public and those they serve, according to Amanda Cole, Extension County Director. University of Illinois Extension that serves Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County is extremely proud to be able to provide this award to Brimmer Sanctuary and thank them for their service to Extension and 4-H. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Monday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, November 16th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.